extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your race. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. 'Cause your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You considered me a friend and captured my heart, yeah. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. And your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You considered me a friend. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. Capture my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate.
I bow my head to pray.
Good morning. Welcome to South Haven Christian Church. On your way in this morning, you are handed a bulletin. Inside is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please fill out that side that says guest and members of the opposite side. Any prayer concerns or announcements, you can go ahead and fill it on that little piece of paper and put it in the offering plate at the offering time. If everyone will please stand, we're going to begin worship by singing All Creatures of Our God and King.
set sail in heaven alone. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Thou rising morning, praise, rejoice. Ye lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye hallelujah, ye who long pain and sorrow bear. Praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Their Creator bless and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son. Praise, praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him.
As you make your way back to your seats, if you do continue to stand, we're going to continue to worship by singing Rise Up and Praise Him.
Let the earth be glad. Let the people of God sing His praise all over the land. Everyone in the valley, come and lift your voice. All those on the mountaintop, be glad and shout for joy.
As we get ready for prayer, we're going to be singing Rescue.
You are the source of life, I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you.
will follow you.
Only you,
only you. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you.
This world has nothing for me.
Will I follow you?
This world has nothing for me.
I need you.
Not very many. That means everybody's doing good, you know. No, I'm just kidding. We all need prayers, even if we're here. But we need, especially the ones that we know that are in need of prayers, like Dale Allen, and you know. So he wished to be here, but unfortunately he can't. And so he needs our prayers. And his wife Colleen, she, his prayers for her will be the that she will be able to eat and get stronger, and because if she doesn't eat, how are we gonna gain weight? I mean, gain strength. So pray for that, and for him, wisdom to decide what is the best care that he can take. Give it her, you know, because he's the primary giver of her, taking care of her, and so he needs wisdom and strength too, and he's not doing that well either, you know, so he needs our prayers. And you know, so that, you know, I see Bobby Fiedler here, he lost his wife last week, and a couple of weeks ago, and now we need to pray for Bobby. And you know, the weather, you know, some storms coming across, and I guess several people have lost their lives on the path, you know, up west. And, you know, it seemed like the storms just come and go, and like hurricanes, you know, come and go, and how many lives the hurricane took, and the fires and the tornadoes. So so let's go together in prayer. Lord God, Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our Lord. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you are here with us this morning. Oh, I mean, not just this morning, but all the time. And we just thank you for being our Lord. And we know that if we talk to you and ask for your help, you tell us in your word that you are here for us. If we call on your name, so we do ask you to be with us and touch each one here this morning. We know I know that a lot of us are here. We are suffering with pains and stress and worries and different things, Lord. So I ask you to touch each one right here this morning. Pray that get stronger and feel better. We know we do by being in your house. I would do pray for Bobby Fiddler as he lost his wife and lately, and there's still a hole on the family there that probably ain't gonna get filled up in a while. So just be with him and give him strength and just bless him and help him to stay connected to you and get closer to you, and that it's, you are there for everybody, and you be there for Bobby, and give him the wisdom that he needs, and his family, his kids, sons, and just touch them and protect them. Lord, you do pray for Dale Allen as he's struggling with his health and decisions he got made, and to take care of his wife, Colleen. He wanna take good care of her the best he can, but he needs strength and better health. Be with Colleen as she, we pray that she will be able to eat and keep, retain what she eats to get stronger. And as hard as it is now, she's not doing that. So pray for her and you touch her body and help them to feel better and get strong. We do pray for the people who are traveling. We know Bob and Gail is up north and Karen in Texas. They probably can be traveling tonight just to be with her. And we know that the weather is kind of windy and whatnot, but just be with them and help them to get home safe. And we do pray for the people that got hurt and they got families that lost their family members at the tornadoes and fires and hurricanes, and Lord, just be with all the families that they are hurting from the loss of a loved one. Whoever it was is still a family. So be with them and give them strength at this time. Lord, just ask for your blessings on the church or every church in the world, that we need you and that we come to you, and we pray that you would keep watching over us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
With open hearts, oh, let words of our faith handed down to this age came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our world in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me.
Written by Keith Green, and it goes something like this: open your eyes to the world all around you. This world is much more than the things that surround you. Open your eyes. Sometimes you're too busy to care, but Jesus wants us to share. Open your arms to the naked, the hurting. Open your arms. Open your arms. As I look to the cross, and as you look to the cross, we see Jesus' open arms as he died for each of us. But the message of his sacrifice does not end there at all, nor does it end with our personal salvation. It must go to our very hearts. Indeed, by his own example, Jesus calls us to open our eyes and to look beyond ourselves. He calls us to open our arms in sacrificial love to others. Jesus purposefully sought out and loved those who were very different from himself, yet in need, they needed his touch. Just the same. His compassion overcame those differences as he mingled with ease among Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, rich, poor, sick, and even the outcast. Let us all look to the cross, remembering Jesus' life, and then following his example this week. By opening our eyes to the world around us and opening our arms to embrace that world with compassion. Just as the words of another well-known song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. And we think on these things this morning as we come before this table today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time in our service that we take just a few moments to focus in on this supper that your son instituted so many years ago. And we are about to partake of the bread and of the juice as he gave it to his disciples. We will partake of it. And I do pray that in this moment we will remember his death and what that means for us. But I hope that as we depart here today, we will also remember that death and salvation that comes to us allows us then to go out into our world. Help us to see, Father, those that are in need, those that need comforting, encouragement, maybe a challenge within their life. And may we be there for them, just as your son Jesus was there for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you each and every day. Thank for life. Thank you that you are with us and you watch over us and guide us. Give us wisdom to follow you, Lord. At this time that we collect the offering, Lord, is just a small portion of your many blessings you give to us each and every day. We ask to bless the gift and the giver and guide us to spend it according the way you want us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll fly away to heaven, and I won't fall when the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home, when the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home.
there'll be no more sorrow and no more pain when the angels carry me home. I'll ride that heavenly, glorious train when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home. Be on that pathway leading to heaven when the angels carry me home. I'll see Jesus waiting for me in heaven when the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. When the angels carry me home. I want to see Jesus first of all when the angels carry me home.
If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And we will be looking at verses 15 through 17 here in just a few moments. Can you imagine what this world would look like if God gave us everything that we wanted? If He answered every one of our prayers exactly the way that we prayed it? I want you to think about that for a moment. Little brothers all over the world would never see their 10th birthday because their little sisters would have already prayed, God, my brother's a brat. He annoys me constantly. Please take him away. Take him back to where he came from. Amen. And if God had done that, all little brothers all over the world would have just disappeared in a moment. Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer all of our prayers, sometimes very silly prayers, just the way that we ask them? Aren't you glad that He is in charge and we're not, especially in the prayer department, because He really does know what is best for each of us? In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, homework assignment, I would tell you to go home and read that chapter here today. But in that chapter, there is an intriguing picture of Jesus. Everyone is gathered around the throne to worship the Lamb, to worship Jesus, because He alone has the power and the authority to open up the scrolls, which are mentioned there in that chapter. The scrolls that reveals, these would be the scrolls that reveal the will of God. What He wants for us and for this world and how it's to be carried out. And Jesus, of course, is the executor of that will, the only one who can carry out its provisions to the letter, the only one who can take God's plan for this world and put it into action. And in the midst of this extraordinary scene, the Apostle John then notices something very interesting. Some people miss it. The heavenly creatures, the ones gathered around the throne, they are holding these golden bowls filled with incense. And then John learns what that incense really is. It is all the prayers of God's people, prayers that haven't been answered yet. All the frustrations and tears, the broken dreams, the dashed hopes of all these people who have been suffering for Jesus, going through hard times because they wouldn't give up on their faith. Now all of these prayers are being stored up, as I see that picture, are being stored up in these golden bowls. Because the Lord Jesus intends to use those prayers when he carries out God's plan for this world. That's why the prayers haven't been answered yet. Because Jesus has something much bigger and better in mind than what those people did when they first prayed their prayer. When they were first prayed, people were only thinking about today and making some kind of change. They were wanting some kind of change to take place in their life. But Jesus is now going to use those same prayers to change our entire future. When they were first prayed, people were only thinking about individuals that they knew and how God might help them. But now Jesus is going to use those same prayers to change the destiny of entire nations. When they were first prayed, people were only thinking about themselves and their jobs and their neighborhoods and their families and wondering why God hadn't done anything yet. Why haven't you answered my prayer, Lord? But now, here in the book of Revelation, it shows those prayers have not been forgotten. They are being stored up in the golden bowls of incense. Golden bowls that Jesus is going to use to change and alter the ultimate course of history. The prayers, yes, will be answered, but in a much more powerful way than we ever could have ever dreamed. So let me explain so that we're clear on this point. Many of you saw a dramatic example, I think, of this principle in the movie that was entitled The End of the Spear, where you saw the story of Jim Elliot and the other missionaries who were killed some 65 years or more ago by the Alka Indians, the very Indians that they were trying to reach with the message of Jesus. There was, of course, a previous movie before that that shows all the tragedy there, but this is the movie that comes after that. Their families had been praying for their safety, praying for their salvation of that tribe that they were witnessing to. But after the horrible massacre that took place, it looked like their prayers hadn't even been answered in any way. Well, today, we see that God had a greater good and a greater glory in mind than what those family members thought way back there 65 years ago. You see, because of that dramatic sacrifice of those five missionaries, and since that time, thousands of others have been inspired to go into mission work and to go to the mission field. And even more interesting is that many of those Alka Indians that acted like savages were eventually led to Christ Of course, not by those five missionaries, because they killed them. But eventually they were led to Christ by the relatives of the murdered missionaries. In fact, some of those former murderers, talking about the Alka Indians, have now gone on to lead other people in their own tribes to Jesus Christ. 65 years later, we see that the prayers of those five missionaries were ultimately answered, but in a much greater way than they could have ever imagined back there when they first prayed the prayer. And so, I say again, I ask again, aren't you glad that God is in charge? He knows what is going on in our lives right now. And it may be something that we don't enjoy. And we may wonder at times, why doesn't the Lord intervene? Why doesn't the Lord answer my prayer? And one of the answers to that question, I think, is this: because He sees the bigger picture. He may be allowing some changes in our lives that we are not comfortable with. But what He allows to happen today is only because He has a greater good and a greater glory in mind in our future, and not just our future, but I believe the future of many others. And I see an example, a biblical example of this in Scripture. It is right here in our text today. It is here that we learn that Goliath, when I say that word, everybody knows who Goliath is. The giant, yep. It is here in this passage that we learn that Goliath wasn't the only giant that David fought. That would be a good quiz question. How many giants did David have battle with? Most people say one. No, it was more than one. It was two. We're going to read it right now. There was another giant that he had to fight. But this time, you want the bad news or the good? The bad news is this time he couldn't beat the giant himself. He needed the help of others. And in receiving that help, it forced a change in David's life, a change that he probably wasn't comfortable with at the time. In fact, this change was probably very embarrassing for him, but over time, a long time, the change led to a greater good and a greater glory for the kingdom of God. And that's the good news. So let's just read a summary here. I'm in chapter 21, 2 Samuel. Look there at verses 15 and following. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Isbinab, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. But Ashnai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Here comes the sad news. Then David's men swore to him, saying, never again will you go out with us in battle. So that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished. Those probably are the saddest words in the Bible for David. Let me explain why. In his prime, David was perhaps the greatest soldier of all time. You got to know that. See him in battle would terrorize whole armies because his fighting skills were renowned around the world of his day. Just to give you a clue to how good he was, David had his elite force of 600 troops always around him, who would be capable in modern... I mean, they were... The 600 were probably like, if we were to compare it to today, would be like Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Army... I mean, they weren't just the lower echelon. They were the top battle soldiers. And within this elite group of 600 men, there was an even more specialized group of 30 men, known as the Mighty Men. Each one of them like a real-life Rambo, with each having the skill and the strength to probably kill 100 men at a time. But all these men in that special force of Israel army, both the 600 and the 30, guess what? They were scared of David, every one of them. He was that much better than everybody else. But time has passed and David's skills are not what they used to be. He's growing older. This proud warrior doesn't have the strength or the energy like he used to, and now he finds himself in this humiliating position where he can't finish the battle. He was a young man when he went up against Goliath at his prime. He had been going strong for quite a while, and now he has run out of gas, as they say. Can't even lift the sword, and he's in danger of losing his life right there in that battle. Of course, he has his 30 men around him. He has his 600 men. They're not going to let him die. They see what's going on, and they step in. Always before, he has come to everyone else's rescue. But now he needs that rescue himself. And it isn't just any kind of Philistine who is coming to kill him, but it is another giant, just like Goliath, very powerful. Very mean and ugly. Can you imagine how awkward this was after the battle? The officers gather around David because it is time for a talk with the king. He shouldn't be out on the battlefield anymore. His days as a warrior have come to an end. But how do you tell someone that it's time to hang up his sword? You don't belong on the field anymore. Your playing, warring days are over. How do you tell someone that? I can just imagine the scene. They know what a proud warrior David is. Nobody wants to confront him with this, but they have to. They are probably all staring at the ground, afraid to look David in the face. because they love him so much and respect him. Nobody wants him to hurt, which makes it doubly hard to talk about this. And they say, David, we are all your friends. There is no one we hold in higher regard than you. But we think today showed us something. You're going to have to hang up your sword. You're not a fighting man like you used to be. You need to go home. For your own good and for the good of Israel, go home. Leave the fighting to us. We can handle this. A chapter in David's life is coming to a quick end here, and it is time for him to move on to something else. But can he make that change? That's the question. Can you make that change? If you are in a similar situation and it comes time now that you have to make a vocational change or a physical change in your life, can you make it? Up in your attic, I'm just assuming this, up in your attic, or maybe it is still up in your parents' attic. That's probably where it is, if they're alive. There is a box, and you know what I'm talking about, that you have never been able to get rid of. It is filled with all kinds of memorabilia from your past. It may not be very important to anyone else, but it is to you. Inside that box is that ribbon that you run at, that you won at that track and field day in the elementary school. There is a graduation certificate from kindergarten. Oh yeah, remember that? Oh, big day. A trophy from a sporting event. A plaque that you received for winning the spelling bee. A trophy for that first swim meet. Every one of those awards means something to you because in that moment of your life, you are being recognized and applauded. Good job. Well done. You did great. We're proud of you. That's why you can't get rid of the box. Every one of those ribbons and trophies and plaques represent a moment in time when you stood out from the rest of the crowd and you were recognized as being someone very special for whatever it was that you were getting the award for. You know, it's like that little girl who comes into the middle of the living room and she twirls around and she jumps up and down and then when she's finished with her routine, she pauses and looks at her daddy and mommy and says, "You can clap now." Yeah, we've been there. We've seen it. You can clap now. We all need that affirmation. We all need to know that we matter, that we count, that we are appreciated by others. But what happens when the crowd around you stops clapping, like it did for David in our text? You know, you are a star in high school, but not good enough to make the team in college. Your sense of significance is going to have to be found in something else. Can you make that transition? You were at the top of your class in college, and all your family and your friends were there on that day of graduation, cheering for you and celebrating all the honors that you received. And then you stepped into your new job and discovered that nobody in that office is impressed with your IQ at all. They could care less about that fancy degree that you put on the wall there in front of your desk. You are back at the bottom now, and it is like you are starting all over again, but can you handle the change? the day of your retirement comes. You get the gold watch, as they say, a 40-year pin, a round of applause, a few special letters and cards. Your first couple of weeks at home probably were nice. But 6 months later, when you're not part of the action anymore, you're not in the thick of things, as they say, where does that feeling of importance for you come from? Suppose I were to give you a pop quiz right now, and the first question on the test is, who is Garrett Wilson? Garrett Wilson. And you think, oh, I know that. He is the wide receiver for the New York Jets. Okay. And I pull out my red pen and I slash through your answer. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong, you say. How can I be wrong? Because wide receiver is what he does. Come on. That's how he earns a living. That is not who Garrett Wilson is. And there's a difference. Or the next question is, who is Christopher Columbus? And you answer, oh, I know that. You answer, the man who discovered America. Well, he may have opened the door to the New World, yes, but that only tells me what he did, again, not who he is. So again, your answer would probably be wrong in my book. You didn't tell me who he is. You just told me what he did. Do you see the point I'm making? There is a vast difference between what you do and who you are. What you do may have temporary significance, but who you are is going to matter for all of eternity. Years ago, when Tom Landry was fired as the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys, some of the media guys got together to pay tribute to this well-known Christian man, reflecting back on his life, the impact that he had had on them. And one of the reporters mentioned a time when the Cowboys had suffered a humiliating defeat. They had really been embarrassed on the field that day in a big way, but Coach Landry came to the press room and answered every one of the questions that the reporters had, and answered each question with grace and dignity on the moment. When the interview was finally over and the media guys started packing up their equipment, this reporter learned that his camera had not been working properly, and he got nothing from that interview on tape. He had nothing to show for the broadcast that night, and he was frantic. And so he went running down the hallway, chasing after Landry. When he finally got to him, he says, Coach, maybe you can help me out. Now here is Landry at one of the lowest moments of his life, his team humiliated out there on the field. And he was humiliated in front of all the cameras just a few minutes ago as he had to stand there and answer all those painful questions, catching the blame for that terrible defeat. But when he heard the reporter's dilemma, he turned right around, came back to the interview room, and went through that entire interview again just for that one reporter. And the reporter later said this. That day, I learned something about Coach Landry. Something that went beyond the deeds on the fields and beyond the statistics in the paper. I saw the man's character and integrity and godly dignity. I saw who that man
really was. And that is what the soldiers in our passage of Scripture today, I think, were trying to tell David. They may have been pushing for David to retire from the battlefield, but they weren't pushing for him to retire from life at all. They weren't sending him home because his usefulness was over, but because he could not be more useful out on the battlefield because of his condition. You see, neither David nor his men defined him simply as a warrior. Soldiering was something he did for a certain period of his life. That was not who he was. David's real identity was this. He was, here it comes, he was the Lamb of Israel. He was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. And that he was a light and a love and a devotion to the Almighty. It's shown through everything that he did, through his music, through his life as a soldier, through his administration in the palace, and through the Psalms that he wrote later in life. The light of his heart was still there, and his men knew it. But they knew that light at this stage in his life would now shine more effectively back at home than it would on the battlefield. His influence would continue to be felt in profound ways. But now that influence was to be shared in a different venue. So what do I learn from this passage today? I got two very quick insights I want to share with you as we close. I think the first one is maybe the most important, but I don't know. Sometimes people think the second is. Number one, when you are called to live for God, you are called to something that is bigger than you. Now I want you to let that sink in, shake it down, think about that. When you are called to live for God, you are called to something that is bigger than you. God not only wants to fulfill His purpose for your life, but through your life, He wants to fulfill His purpose for everyone and everything else too. Don't forget the golden bowls of incense. Lots of prayers. I'm sure my mom thought at a time, why isn't God answering my prayer? She was praying for all of her kids to be involved in specialized service. And we all kind of drug our feet on that. I'm sure she was worried, but you see, all her prayers were in there. They were all in the golden bowls. And in God's timing and His choosing, although Mom didn't see some of her prayers answered in her lifetime, they're being answered now, years later. Robert Morrison, I don't know if that's a familiar name or not, but he was the first Protestant missionary that went to China that we know on record. The year was 1807. He was 25 years old when he started his work there in China. He died 27 years later, and he died a very discouraged man. Because over the course of his entire ministry life in China,
Based on his own testimony, he had only baptized 10 Chinese in 27 years. That was it. At the end of his days, he considered his work and his life to have been a failure. But God doesn't see it that way. Because now, 200 years later, we have a different perspective on the impact that Robert Morrison had on China. You may not know this, but you see, Robert Morrison was not only the first missionary to the land of China, but he was also the first man to translate the Bible into the Chinese language. And as a result of the Chinese being able to read the gospel in their own language, millions and millions and millions of other Chinese have been baptized since the time of Robert Morrison. And it was because of what he left behind. Robert Morrison was called by God to something that was much bigger than himself. He judged himself in his eyes and felt he was a failure. But in God's eyes, as God was working through this man, millions of Chinese, I think, have come to the Lord because of the early work of a translation of the Bible that they could read on their own. And so it is with David here. Many scholars believe that it was in this moment in his life when a change was forced upon David to leave the battlefield and to head to the palace. And it was there at this stage in his life that he hangs up the sword. But what? Guess what? He took out the pen and he began to take all of those poems and songs that he had been storing up in his mind from all his years in the caves and the years on the battlefield. And finally, he was beginning to put them down on paper. And it was here, at this stage of his life, that he wrote most of the Psalms that we have in our Bible today. And the result, what is the result? The Lamb of Israel was not only shining in the days of David's flesh, but 3,000 years later, his lamp is still shining. Every time you open up this book, every time you open up and read a psalm that David wrote, he's shining. His influence is still being felt around the world. When you are called to live for God, you become a part of something that is bigger than you. Don't forget it. And then the second insight is this. David's experience with the Lord gives hope. Here it comes. Gives hope for me too. Have you ever noticed that out of all the words in the English language, some of the most comforting words are those two words? Me too. It is that moment when the light comes on and you realize, you mean I am not the only one who feels this way? The others have struggled like me too? You mean someone else has been down that same road like I have? This happened to you? Me too. Hey, I'm not alone in this world. These are the words I hear myself saying when I'm reading through the book of Psalms. You see, 1 and 2 Samuel show us what David's life was like on the outside, but the book of Psalms shows us what David's life was like on the inside. 1 and 2 Samuel show us what he did, but the book of Psalms shows us who he was. And when I look deep inside his heart, I hear myself saying, me too. David, you had those same kind of struggles and fears and doubts. Me too. You had those same kind of worries and frustrations and disappointments. Me too. You struggled with sin and temptation. Me too. You mean your life was like a roller coaster, some days good and some days bad and some days up and some days down? Me too. I began to realize that his life was anything but perfect or polished. And yet, if God could still bless his life, then God can bless me too. Me too. There are a lot of Bible characters that you can bring out, you know, for a period of time in your life. Something they did, something they said, something that reminds you of where you are. But I think David, probably more than all of them, he certainly wrote more than all of them. I mean, there's a lot of Psalms. He didn't write every one, but he wrote most of them. And you can't read the Psalms and not think at some point, man, this guy had problems. Or this guy struggled. Or this, how can this be a man after God's own heart? And yet he was. And then you run into your day on the battlefield that you get defeated. You get humiliated. You come to a period of your life that you can't do anything else but look up and pray to God. Because you've lost your good health, you lost your mobility, you lost your wealth, whatever it is. And you think, it's all over. That's when you need to start reading the book of Psalms. Realize it's not over. It's not over. Till God says it's over. Robert Morrison, I can't imagine how this man felt as he lies on his deathbed and he realizes that for 27 years, all he's thinking, all that I have to show for my life is 10 souls. What a waste. That's what he thought. What a waste. And yet God used him to bring millions to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. Don't think
Never think that God can't do something like that in your life. I would tell you that if someone has prayed for you in the past, and you know that they prayed for you in the past, prayed for you to be something, to do something that has never been accomplished in your life, just know that those prayers are still sitting in the golden bowls of incense around the throne of God. I do think that God answers all prayers, but not the way we always think, not in the timing that we think. And that's why then some of the things that you will do will be bigger than anything that you thought you were doing. Who knows what it will be? Only God knows, and maybe one day you might know when you get to heaven if you ask. Maybe. But right now you live in real time. And I would tell you today, after reading a story like this, is that if you're at a transition in your life, it doesn't matter what it is, but every one of us come to transitions. Yeah, we do. Something massive, some big change takes place. And we got to pivot. We got to go in another direction because we can't keep doing what we have been doing because that possibility is gone now. So what do? You pray, of course. You get others to pray. But you're humble enough to recognize, and David was. David didn't fight his mighty men. He did go home. Thank God he went home. Because I don't know if we would have ever got the Psalms otherwise. What a blessing. Psalm 1, Psalm 100, Psalm 119. I got my favorite. Psalm 23. Y'all can all quote a verse from some psalm, I bet. And it was probably David's words. Yeah. We might remember he won a battle with Goliath. Most of us don't even remember he fought another giant, but he did. And he didn't win that battle on his own. His men, his mighty men stepped in to save him. And that's about as far as his battlefield experience goes for me, except I know he was a great king and he maintained the territory of the kingship because he was a mighty warrior. But David's greatest impact on my life, and I bet you on most people's lives, was what he did after the battlefield. He probably didn't see that in real time. I don't even think his mighty men saw that in real time. They just wanted to make sure that the Lamb of Israel was not killed. Their leader remained king. But what an impact. The last years of his life was upon mankind. And that was God answering many prayers. All at once, through one man, by the name of David. What about your life here today? Only you can really answer that question in its deepest recesses of your heart. I know even a room this size, a small crowd here, there are some of you that are at crossroads. You're wondering what's going to happen, what's going to take place, what direction am I going to go in? I pray that David will be an example before you and realize that maybe God's been able to use you in whatever it is that you've been doing, but if you're at that crossroad, be sensitive. Maybe God's directing you in a different direction. Maybe He's going to have you try something new, different. You may struggle a little bit at first, but who knows? It may be exactly what God wants to do right now in your life for the good of the kingdom. Only time will tell. As we come to our time of decision, for Christ, and so we extend that invitation. If you're outside of Christ, we invite you to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life if you're ready to do so. It's a personal call, something you have to decide. If you've been with us and you're a Christian, and you've been with us long enough to know what our mission is and what we believe and where we're heading, what our doctrine is, and you like it, why not come? Join us. Help us. God knows this church. This little church needs help. Yeah. We're trying to grow. We're trying to make an impact on this community. Dale Allen called. It's always nice when they call and say, "Can you pray for me today?" Why would he do that? Because he knows we pray, number one. He knows that this church has almost 25 widows and widowers. He knows that we have a deacon ministry that takes care of shut-ins. That's why he calls. This church is trying to help people where they are as best we can. And I appreciate someone that calls and says, "I need prayer." Tells me he's humbled himself. He knows he can't do it on his own. He knows what he's doing is bigger than himself, and he needs help. And God will give it to him. How about you? Are you willing to reach out? Are you willing to ask God for that help today? I hope before you leave here today, if you're in need of something, that you'll say something to a brother or sister in Christ. Because I think even in this small church, we got people that will take that to heart and pray for you on the day and ask God to help. If you need to make a decision today, I invite you to come as we stand and sing our hymn of decision.
Whoop, there we go. All right. Some of you think that everybody can hear, but I can tell you, I assure you, this room really kills the sound real fast, about three rows back. it starts to die real quick. All right, in your bulletins, there is insert. Last time we did this, I think there was over 25 people that showed up, more adults than kids. That's the way we wanted it. When we have kids, we need to not be sparse on chaperones and eyes. We need eyes on our kids. We need to keep make sure they're safe, make sure they're having a good time. Sarah's stepping out in faith again, and she's inviting everyone to go, but she's inviting a lot of you to go to help. You know, help keep an eye on those kids, help those kids have a good time. Make sure they don't go in with the pole, you know, when they throw the pole in, you know, that pole doesn't pull them in or something, you know, and that the birds don't eat their heads, you know, et cetera, you know. I mean, there's things you got to watch for, and that's coming up. It's after church on the 30th, and we may need some of you to help us transport some kids if we have a lot of kids. We'll see. I hope it'll be just as big and as many as we had before. All right, now you can see the other announcements there in the calendar here, Chat and Chew. You know, when I saw Chat and Chew and I was doing this sermon, I thought of Becky Sita. I don't think she ever thought when she was thinking this initially where this was going to go. But see how God just makes things bigger than we ever thought possible. And I like the fact that she opened up her home and ladies are able to come. And you notice that the guys don't, we don't try to muscle in either. Have I ever tried to muscle in on your territory there? No, no. You know, I want to see, because I think God wants a ladies meeting there, you know, only where the ladies can share. And I'm sure some have shared things that only ladies need to hear, and ladies will take to heart and pray, and that's the chat part of it. Now, the chewing is whatever you bring, I think. Yeah, yeah. And so that's a good thing. So that's today. I hope that ladies will take advantage of that. Now, I saw, not that I was looking for it, but I saw the slide that says the men's Bible study was today. That was just accidental. That should have been screened off, because we did our Bible study last week. We're done for the month. And so don't show up at my house at 5, okay? He was there last week. He brought some guests with him, and that was nice. And we had a good time and had a good fellowship. So that was nice. All right. So this Saturday, I know that the Family Feud game starts at 5 here at the church. If you're interested in coming, I think the way I read that, that can you can be a participant or you can be the audience. We need both. You know, in the Family Feud, you got to have both kind of present for it to work. So we hope that you'll come and share in that, if you will. Bible study, our regular Wednesday night Bible study at 7, of course, is this week. Any other announcements that with activities that we need? Barbara. Wear your shirt. They're looking for the red shirts. All right, that's very important. And and we're not strangers at the back door. You know, I think we've been there so much we could probably use the front door now. You know, we're going to the back, but we can go to the front now, and we got the front room, and. And it's a nice view, and it's a nice food, and that's all next week. Now, I think I saw this hand right here. Yes? Oh, you just dropped something. I hope it's not what you need. Okay.
Okay. I've been in charge of the shut-in committee, which I think needs to be changed to the sunshine committee. Mm. How many like that better? Raise your hand. It's a vote. Mm. Okay. Shut-in sounds negative to me, and I think that they need sunshine. So I'm trying to find ways that will bring joy, bring light, and because they're just like David, they don't go out to battle anymore, but they're not useless. They stay home, they pray for us, they think about us, they watch us on their TV, and they fellowship with us. And they need to know that we think about them, that we fellowship with them. So I'm trying to devise ways that will bring some light and laughter into their life. So I made these silly little cards that says, not lucky. And then you open it up and it says, loved. Because these are not lucky because they can't be here with us. But we can be with them in spirit because we love them. We appreciate everything that they've done, how they mentored us, how they've used their life to serve the Lord. And I want them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're thinking about them. So I'd like everybody to sign this because I'm going to be delivering them this week. And we're just going to see how they smile when they see this and they know that you're thinking about them and that you're letting them be a part of your life. And in the future, I'm going to be handing out cards or notifications that have their names, their address, their phone numbers, their birthdays, their anniversaries. So if you get a wild hair, you can call them. Hello, are you still alive? So am I. I'm thinking about you today. You know, it doesn't take but a minute to put a smile on somebody's face. And if we can spread some sunshine and light and gladness into their lives, I'm all for it. And I just appreciate all of your help and your prayers about this. Oh, I have one other thing. Yeah. Coming soon.
She's on a roll. Go ahead.
I had to turn around because this is now my other hat. I'm the drama queen, as you all know. So I just want you to let you know that Geta Gripa will be doing her debut here in the United States, right here in the studio of South Haven Christian Church. So Geta's guest will be the Robbie the Rabbit. I think some of you might remember him. And she's going to be interviewing him and how his lives have changed in the last 2 years since he got this wild revelation when he was talking with his friend Kiko the kangaroo. So stay tuned. Details will follow. And we'll be announcing more about Geta Gripa.
Okay. I've been looking forward to meeting Geta Gripa. All right, very good. One question, Miss Sunshine. where do we sign the card? When they go out the second set of doors, somewhere out there, they can sign? Okay. All right. Everybody knows where it is now. I didn't know because I went out there before the service. So very good. You already captured some of those. All right. Any other announcements? All right. We have anybody? Judy? Oh, yeah, Bobby. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so we're looking for someone that has flooring experience. Laminate flooring, lane floors, that's what's in there. And I bet you most of us don't, Bobby, but we know God does. And so we'll start praying. We'll start praying that prayer. All right. Judy is going to share an announcement.
I just want to say me too. This morning, or last week, I got a call from Ann and Wayne Conway saying that they were going to take Bob and Gail's place since they were going to be away. We talked about Wayne's Jeep and how I could get into it. So he arrives 8:30 this morning, and there's no way I could get into it. It was just too high. So he went home, and I got a call a few minutes later. He said, I'm coming back. Don't change your clothes. And he came back with his wife's car, and I got into that with no problem, and I'm here. So just know the devil can't win, no matter what. When God is in it, we win.
All right. Now, I don't know if that all registered to you, but let me ask you, have you ever been involved in a church where you needed a ride and someone showed up and it was clear as a bell when they got there that you weren't going to be able to get into that car? Maybe that's happened. But let me tell you what hasn't happened in many churches is for someone to then leave and come back with a different car. See, that's ministry there. That's ministry in a big way, to realize that somebody wants to come. My vehicle is not going to work, so maybe I can try to find another one. I don't know how you did that, Wayne, but you did. And brought a different car back and still got her here on time because you were here before the service started. Unbelievable. And I give Wayne, who is our Minister of Transportation, if you don't know it, credit for thinking outside the box or thinking about how can I make this happen, because he knew he had somebody that wanted to be in the Lord's house today and made it happen for her. Me too. I'm glad I'm part of a church where if someone wanted to do that, I can say, you know, me too. Don't forget me, you know, and minister in that way. So thank you, Judy, for sharing that. Several of our ministers acted. See, they're all new. You know, they just started a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and we're already getting a lot of action. Now, I'm going to close with this because some of you remember Ray Bennett, right? He was our 500. We called him the 500 preacher because for many years he'd come down on the Sunday that the 500 was running, and he preached for me because we had a group of people that went out every year on that Sunday, and we were ministering and helping and doing what we could do there. But he came every year on the 500, and we just tagged that name to him. He was our 500 preacher. So he calls me this week. I haven't heard from him in years, a couple of years now, and he calls and he says, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. You know, we filled in the details that we didn't know, and he says, I'm calling for a reason. I said, I thought so. I just was wondering what it would be. He says, well, I was in your church on the 500th Sunday, and it just happened to be that you had ministry sheets all up in your building. And I said, yes. He said, how many did you have? I said, I don't know when you were there. Well, how many would you put up? I said, well, this year we had 46. 46! All right, I'm writing that down. And long story short, he's filling in at a small church, Corbin, Kentucky. He said he's filling in at a church, and he says that I'm preaching on ministries, and I thought I'd share a few ideas, and you gave me the best ideas ever. You know, and can you describe a couple of those ministries? And I said, yes, I can. I said, communion ministry. they're in charge of communion. Well, yeah, that's good. I said, how about baptism? He said, yeah. What do they do? Well, they take care of everything with the baptism. Oh, that's great. And service. I said, facilities. He said, oh, what is that? I said, well, that's the person that would be in charge of everything that deals with our building and inside the building, not outside. And, oh, man, I'm writing that down, you know, and he's just writing down everything, you know. It's like he's never heard this before, but he thought these were all great ideas. And as I'm talking to him, I'm thinking, you know, some churches don't even know all the different kind of ministries that can be done. And then I got to our shut-ins, and I didn't go through all 46, but he said, I need a dozen. Give me a dozen of the best ones that you can think of right off the top of your head. I was driving. I was talking to him while I was driving. And I told him about the shut-in, and then I told him about the widows. He said, how many widows? Widowers? I said, almost 25, I think, 23, 25, something like that. Unbelievable. I'm writing that down. You know, and so I'm just telling you, I was very proud to tell somebody that was asking, who got exposed to our ministries, to realize that we do have a lot of ministry going on in this church. Sometimes unbeknownst, nobody would have known if Judy did not say anything about this, but that's ministry right there. And Wayne probably doesn't need any attaboys, but I'm giving him one because I've never seen that happen. Usually you go, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and you go home. He'd come to church, he would go home, but he went back. That's the kind of church I'm part of. That's the kind of church you're part of. People that don't give up. Think outside the box. Bobby, we're going to pray for that floor. I don't know any flooring men in this church, but who knows? Who knows? I don't know. But we're going to start praying. Maybe we can find a person that can help you. And we'll see where that goes. All right, let's stand. We're going to be dismissed with a word of prayer. Thank you for being with us today. Have a blessed day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful Lord's Day with your family here in this church, around this table, remembering your Son Jesus. And as we depart now, we ask for your Holy Spirit to weld up strong within us, give us power and strength to go forth and to be your eyes, your arms. May we see the needs around us, Father, and want to do what we can to meet those needs as best we can. I pray for Ray Bennett today, Father, as he preaches and as he shares ministry thoughts with a church. Pray that they'll be open to ideas and suggestions that would maybe help that church minister in ways that maybe they haven't. And I know he was wanting some prayers. He struggles now, Father, in his senior years. He says he has to use a walker all the time now. Can't be without one. But even with a walker, Father, he comes in and he still preaches. He still shares. He does what he can. I pray that you'll bless his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with this closing chorus. Soon and very soon.